Hello and welcome to Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. On today's episode, we're going to answer some questions from listeners just like you. You can get your questions answered by sending us a message at radio@faithalone.org. Today's question is this: is faith a gift of God, and how is it obtained? That's a great question, and we're going to go right to the discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name's Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
We're taking your questions. Send them to radio@faithalone.org. Here is a question from Doug. And Doug says, I recently read your book, Is Calvinism Biblical? So it's been a pretty popular book. He says, thank you for your clear explanation of Scripture on this important issue. I concur wholeheartedly with you in what you wrote. And basically, maybe just tell us a little bit about that book. We are not Calvinists, and right. We're not Arminians either.
Right, and there are 5 points of Calvinism, but really 6 if you understand that the P in TULIP, T-U-L-I-P, stands for both the preservation of the saints and the perseverance of the saints. So what I did is I took 12 passages, 2 from each of the 6 points,
right,
and I went through to show that these 12 passages are inconsistent with Calvinism.
It's very simple. If you just want to see, here are some passages that really refute each of the points of Calvinism, that's what your book does.
I'm just trying to say, look, I don't have an axe to grind. I was taught Calvinism at Dallas Theological Seminary. I called myself a Calvinist for probably 15 years after I graduated from Dallas Seminary. But I came to see that I can't even call myself a 4-point Calvinist if I'm going by the definitions of Calvinism.
Our position is the free grace position.
Right. And we don't say we're Calvinist or Arminian.
No.
We're just biblical.
Yeah, I would say I'm a 0-point Calvinist, and I'm also a 0-point Arminian. I don't agree with any of the points as traditionally defined by them. If you're interested in reading Is Calvinism Biblical, I'll tell you what. Use the code CAL50, C-A-L-50, and you can get 50% off at our website. Because your book only deals with 2 verses per point, there's a lot of people can have unanswered questions. And
right.
So Doug has this question. He says, how do you understand 2 Peter 1:1? I don't believe that faith is a gift, but in what way does a person obtain or receive it? And how is faith obtained by righteousness? Please share your understanding of this verse with me. Well, let's read 2 Peter 1:1. What does it say?
2 Peter 1:1 says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, and here's the part he's concerned about, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And by the way, this is a statement of the deity of Christ. And on top of that, he's saying we've obtained like precious faith. This is the same precious faith the apostles have.
Right. So Doug's question is, when Peter says to those who have obtained like precious faith with us, he says, I don't believe that faith is a gift. So Doug is thinking that this faith is the ability to believe at all, right? And Calvinists claim that the reason why some people believe in Jesus and some people don't believe in Jesus is because God has predestined only some people to be saved, and those people whom he has predestined, he specifically regenerates so that they can believe. And so only some people get this special gift of saving faith from God.
Right, which leads to the charge that God is unjust. In my opinion, that would be unjust,
right,
unfair, but Calvinists say, well, wait a minute, God's sovereign, and anything he does is by definition just.
Right.
So it doesn't have to fit our understanding of justice. My response would be that the scriptures are very clear. People who believe are willing to believe.
Right.
Not that they choose to believe. We've had lots of shows on that. That's impossible. But we need to be willing. For example, in John 5:39-40, Jesus said, you search the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, for in them you think you have everlasting life. But these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. Coming to Jesus in John's gospel is believing in him. John 6:35 is an example. And so you're not willing to believe in me. You see the same thing in Matthew 23:37-39, where Jesus said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would have gathered you, as a hen gathered her chicks, but you were not willing.
Mm-hmm.
You see, those verses contradict Calvinism, and they contradict the idea that faith is the gift of God. Of course, this passage is not talking about saving faith, per se.
Right.
It's talking about the body of Christian truth.
Well, so I think that's the key to this passage. So there are two ways of thinking about the faith. Faith as content, like what you're believing, like the Christian faith. And then there's kind of faith as my subjective ability to believe. And it sounds like Doug is asking, is Peter talking about to those who have obtained like precious faith? Is he talking about those who obtained the ability to believe? No, that's not what Peter's talking about.
No, there's not any of that teaching. And it's not even saying that God gave them the gift of saving faith. That is, forget the ability to believe. God just dropped that onto them so that somehow they were convinced. Of course, in Calvinism, it's not the free gift of everlasting life.
Right.
Because then you would have a person who was assured of everlasting life. And in Calvinism, you're never assured. So in their view, regeneration precedes faith. The person is born again as a gift of God. But then they later get faith as a gift of God. Of course, most Calvinists would say these occur essentially simultaneously. So that regeneration and faith occur just nanoseconds apart.
Right.
But the point is, when he says to those who have obtained like precious faith, that would include saving faith, but it's the whole body of Christian truth.
Yeah, it's like he's saying, listen, you've obtained the same truths that we have obtained. It's the same truths about Jesus. It's the same truths about everything pertaining to salvation and Christian living.
Right. Now, here's what Zane Hodges says in our Grace New Testament commentary. He says, the faith in Christ and in Christian truth, which the readers share with the apostles, has every bit as much value for them, like precious faith, as it has for the apostles who were eyewitnesses of its reality. And so it's not simply faith in Christ for everlasting life, but it's also in Christian truth. How do we obtain it? Wasn't that one of Doug's questions? How do we obtain this faith?
How is faith obtained by righteousness?
Well, first of all, let's say how is it obtained, and then let's talk about the righteousness.
Yeah, how do you get these? Now, remember, we're talking about a body of truths. We're not talking about the ability to believe. We're talking about faith as a body of truths. And how do we obtain that?
You go to church.
You hear
preaching
preacher, right?
Week after week, month after month, year after year. And over time, you obtain the Christian truth, the Christian faith. So that's how they obtained it. And now the second question he's asking is about righteousness.
Yeah, how is faith obtained by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ? What does that
serve? They've obtained like precious faith with us, with the apostles, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, that by part is referring to that this occurs within the sphere or the realm of righteousness. This is what Hodges says in his commentary. Of course, their faith had brought them a righteous standing before God, justification, but it also directed them toward righteous living. And he says, see 2 Peter 1:5 through 11, which immediately follows, and compare Titus 2:11 through 14. So Hodges' point is that the faith which they have is directing them toward righteous living. And that's what this by righteousness is saying. It's directed toward righteousness.
Okay, so you're saying the word by is more towards righteousness?
Well, the word by, it's en in Greek, in, with, by, among, something like that. It's a rather flexible word. It could be in the righteousness of God or by the righteousness of God. But the point is, this faith we have is a faith which is sourced in the righteousness of God, not simply saving faith. The Christian life is sourced in the righteousness of God. We're directed, as we come to church each week, toward righteous living.
Right.
And that's the basic point of this. And by the way, didn't you bring a commentary that points out the same idea, that the faith here is not saving faith, but this is the body of Christian truth?
It's by Dwayne Watson and Terence Callan. And they say, the author mentions faith only here and in 1:5 below, making it difficult to know exactly what faith means in 2 Peter. but it is likely to be related to the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. So to them, the faith is the knowledge of God and Christ Jesus our Lord.
So an experiential knowledge of God.
Right.
Sourced in truth.
Right.
Sourced in the Word of God.
Right. And so later on in verse 5, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. So he wants them to grow in their holy experience, in their practical righteousness.
Right. And this seems to be working out the righteousness of verse 1, of 1:1 that Doug's asking about. Also, it's working out the faith idea. And by the way, it's interesting where it says add to your faith.
Yeah.
The word add is the word epikorigeo.
Yeah.
That same word appears in verse 11. Now, it's active in verse 5. That is, the readers need to do that.
And by the way, this reminds me of what James would say. Don't
right.
just be a hearer of the word, but
be a doer.
So don't just have this faith, this body of knowledge, but actually add virtue to that. Actually live it out.
It basically is what James is saying when he says faith without works is dead.
Yes.
Unless your faith is put into practice, it's unprofitable.
And Peter says that in verse 8, for if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Good point.
So, you know, we want to be fruitful, but you can be barren.
Right.
If you just have this body of knowledge that you never apply, that you never put into practice, then you're going to be a barren, useless, or what James would say, you'll have a dead faith.
Right. But according to Peter, he uses epikorigeo again in verse 11, this time in the passive voice. And he said, if you do add all these character qualities to your beliefs, then a rich entrance will be supplied into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The words, this entrance, rich entrance, will be supplied. That's epikorigeo. So you add to your faith all these character qualities, God will add to you a rich entrance into the kingdom. And so the power of this passage is that we have obtained through solid Bible teaching in our local churches the same kind of faith that the apostles had, and that this faith is directing us toward righteous living.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to explore more of the topics that we talk about on this show and don't know where to do it? Well, I'm going to tell you where. It's at faithalone.org. That's our website, faithalone.org. On the site, we have all kinds of free resources that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. For example, we have this beautifully laid out full-color magazine that you can get a free subscription. Just go to faithalone.org and sign up on the site. Would you like to become a financial partner with this show? Well, if so, you can find out how to do that on faithalone.org. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated because it's how we stay on the air. By the way, we love to hear from our listeners. Maybe you've got a comment, feedback, or even a question. If you do, I'll give you our email address so that you can reach out to us. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about how works and obedience relate to salvation. So tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.